This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist inviting you to join me for the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. I'll be speaking and signing copies of my new book, Alito, The Justice Who Reshaped the Supreme Court and Restored the U.S. Constitution. Learn more at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise. For it is to the Father, as to the Son, as to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
Has risen indeed. Alleluia. Risen indeed. Alleluia.
Oh. A reading from John chapter 8. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. At the end of the quarter, everything seems to be speaking at once. It all seems to speak at once. The phone calendar dings, your inbox chirps, your body complains, your mind races on and on and on. And even the good news that comes with the noise, the placements, the congratulations, the excitements, and also the not so good news of the noise, the compromise, the second guessing, and the quiet panic that many of you are experiencing inside of yourselves, now that placement is no longer a hypothetical, but it is a real thing. Names and towns and people who will be there that you yourselves will soon be yoked to also. And so the distractions are not just from our phones or our social medias. No, the distractions are what keeps us oftentimes moving. So you don't have time to sit still long enough to be held to the truth and to hold the truth to yourself. Not long enough to be able to see these things. Still long enough, though, to pick up those pet projects, those little props that oftentimes need to be stripped away. We oftentimes think to ourselves, if we are busy enough, you can almost believe that you are free in yourself. And so this morning, Jesus speaks to us as he speaks to the Jews, to those who believed in him, the believers, the baptized type, the church type, the seminary type, if you will. And he says to them and he says to us, not speed up. No, he does not say that. He doesn't tell us to get our stuff together. No, instead, he simply says to us, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Right there. Abide. Remain. Stay put. And this already has us offended, because we would rather manage the word rather than be managed by it. We would rather use it than live under it. We would rather turn it into something that we can carry around, something we can prove, it proves that we belong, something that secures our futures, something that we are given in way of advantage. But Jesus doesn't hand us his word as a tool. No, instead, in calling for us to abide in his word, he gives it to us as a home. Abide in my word. And then he goes on to say, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In a place like this that prizes itself on getting to the heart of what the truth is a shiny word. We love it. We defend it. We parse it. We footnote it. We can make it truth into a possession, into a badge, and even into a weapon. We can imagine the truth is something we have, and when we have it, we are safe and secure. But Jesus will not let the truth be an object that we own. No, instead, he locates the truth in his very own speaking. For truth here is not a concept. Instead, it is a voice, his holy, divine voice. It is his word. The truth is not first something you grasp. Instead, it is something that grasps a hold of you. But immediately, the old Adam in us bursts forth and says, as we, the believer, we are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to sin by anyone. We have never been enslaved by anyone. That is the sound of denial, friends. I'm fine. I'm free. I'm in control. And how absolutely absurd is that on the surface? Both for the Jews who said it and for us as we believe it. Enslaved in Egypt, enslaved in Babylon, enslaved to Rome. But slavery is how it works. It makes you call chains normal. It trains you to confuse your bondage with your very own identity. So Jesus doesn't debate it here. No, instead, he simply diagnoses it. Everyone who practices sin, Jesus says, is a slave to sin. Not everyone who has weakness, not everyone who has a bit of inconsistency, everyone who sins, who keeps on turning to it, who lives in it, who arranges their life around it, who comes and makes peace with it by finding excuses in it or hiding it or despairing under it. Sin is not merely bad choices. Instead, it is a master. It claims you. It drives you. It pays its own wages also. And you can practice sin in very respectable ways even at the end of another quarter. You can be enslaved by it, right? Enslaved to it by being solid. Enslaved to it by being in fear, or being ordinary, or fear of failure, fear of being found out. Enslaved to compromise when placement lands. He got this, but I got this. Enslaved to self-justification, to using our intellect or our grades or our productivity or even our pastoral dreams to keep the heart from hearing the verdict that it dreads. For even the pastoral office, even the office of the holy ministry, can be a chain if we make it where we find ourselves to prove ourselves and that we are enough. Then Jesus tightens it. He says, "The slave does not remain in the house forever." Friends, slavery is unstable. It is not a permanent place. Always auditioning, always on borrowed time. That is what sin does. It makes us restless creatures, never at rest, never finished, always hearing, again, prove it again. But then Jesus steps into that void with his very own word of gospel, clean and outside of ourselves. The Son remains forever. And so the Son sets you free. If he sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom is not located in your resolve. It is not located in your end of quarter stamina. It is not located in your placement paperwork. It is not located in your final plan. No, freedom is simply located in the Son of God himself, who died for your sins upon the cross, and in what he does and what he says. Plain and simple. How does the Son set you free? By his word, that actually does what it says it's going to do. Not merely information, but pure and sweet absolution for you. And when he says you are forgiven, he is not offering a possibility. He is speaking divine reality upon you. He is announcing a verdict grounded in his very own death and sealed in his own resurrection. For the wages of sin, that is death, is paid in his very own grave. Sin has claimed that has been claimed has been broken by his rising again. For the Son remains, and his word stands. And that is our Easter. Not a cheer up, but a Christ is alive. Therefore, the old master does not own you any longer. Your future is not finally secure in your own competence. You can be sent, you can be placed, without being enslaved to proving yourself. So, dear brothers in Christ, you are placed, waiting, embracing, and abiding in his word. These last days that you are here with us, enjoy. The people you are called to serve, you will be yoked to, and they will not enslave you while those chains tighten. No, you will be free, indeed, by Jesus Christ's own blood, by his word. And you will put that same forgiving word into their ears as well. For the truth sets us free, not as an idea, but as Jesus himself speaking to us, that pure, sweet gospel word. In his holy name.
Amen.
Thank you.
O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, you want all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We give you thanks for Friedrich Winneken, who faithfully served your church as missionary and pastor. Protect and encourage all missionaries who confess the true faith among the nations by proclaiming your cross and resurrection. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.